episode number 158, and I got no.
New York sports are dead.
They're dead. Giants suck. Jets suck. Rangers suck. Islanders suck.
Knicks are a question mark. I'll give you that.
Knicks are good.
They're good. But you know what? Are they that good? That's where we're at right now.
Best offense of the league, Tim. Best offense of the league. Just played the Orlando Magic, who won, nine out of 11.
It's now 10 out of 12. They won last night.
But I'm happy with my team.
I'm happy with Cleveland, so we're in a good spot.
Happy with the Knicks, at least. A lot to go over. No episode last week because of the holiday. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy holidays to all of our viewers. Hope you enjoyed the Giants losing as much as I did. I'm proud of my franchise. Suck for Shador.
Drew Lock looked good.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, that one almost touchdown.
No, he didn't. I love how like people were like, oh, it'd be so funny if Daniel Jones like signed with the Cowboys and torched you on Thanksgiving. I literally was like, I'd rather that happen.
Yeah, why would that be funny? You want to lose. That'd be full circle moment. You'd be like,
they deserve that.
One, I'm glad this guy's successful finally. And two, we lost. So that'd be a...
We lost. All right, we're going to dive into NFL. MVPs, rising teams, playoffs coming up. College football. We're only a couple days away from the final ranking. Conference championship weekend starts tomorrow, technically, because Army could be that group of five team, depending on what happens with Boise State. If they win, who knows? I'm blanking on other stuff. Baseball, free agency, stove's getting hot. Blake Snell, Los Angeles Dodger. Deferred money again.
Tommy Edman, deferred money.
Luis Severino is now the highest paid Oakland, Sacramento, Las Vegas A in history.
Ever. It took three years, $670 million contract, which is something.
This is the same organization that has the all-time leader in stolen bases, by the way.
Yeah, and this is just insanity to think that is the highest paid, highest contract ever. When you think about
I thought the Benintendi contract with the White Sox blew my mind that he was the highest paid in franchise history.
This is unbelievable. This is like pennies to the Mets and Yankees. This is a contract they give to Jed Lowry made like $40 million with the Mets. I mean,
Jed Lowry.
Exactly.
We will dive into the Soto sweepstakes, Yankees meeting with Max Fried, meeting with Corbin Burns.
Willie Adames. I'm hearing heating up on him. Willie
Adames is apparently plan B. I don't know if there's a guy you want to swing big on, but you know what? I like the bat, I like the glove. But
he could be a 30-100 guy for you guys. He's a good player.
We'll see. He was a Yankee killer when he was with Tampa.
But you know what, though? You know what? Is that really? There's got to be more to plan B. That can't just be plan B.
Yeah, that can't just be plan B.
There's got to be more to it.
Exactly. Also, where do you put him? Because his primary—I know he's got a good glove. Primary position is shortstop. Volpe plays a pretty stellar shortstop. You put him at third. Jazz at second.
I kind of like that. Who knows?
But then who's at first base?
Pete Alonso question marks start getting raised.
I feel like that's priority number two. It's re-sign Soto and go get a first baseman. I feel like that's priority.
See, here's my thinking, is when they come out and say that Willie Adames is plan B, obviously they can't come out and say Pete Alonso's plan B. I mean, they're never going to say that.
Yeah.
But if he really truly is plan B, then is there a world where you even see Pete Alonso potentially as a Yankees? Now I'm starting to feel like it's more Mariners than anything if he doesn't stay with the Mets.
I think it's Mariners. Speaking of Mariners, they're looking at Alec Boehm, I just saw.
I don't know. They have great pitching, but even the guys they get, they never seem to even like, it just doesn't seem to work.
It just never works. Hockey, Rangers. Should blow it up. This is bad.
They are now the number 16th ranked in the Super 16. And if you go back like 2 weeks ago, they were like first.
They were like
3 weeks ago,
five.
Like first. Yeah.
The team started 4-0-1.
Yeah. I mean, the Isles didn't. If you're an Isles fan, right now it's just pretty much cruise control till people come back. But I'm kind of sick of saying that because they are 9-10-7. That doesn't look great. That doesn't look great.
It does not look great. Four Nations rosters are available.
Finally.
This is the best thing the NHL could have done.
I love it so much.
And then
Canada-US plays at TD Garden, Stan. I looked at tickets. I'm not going. Way too much money, but they play.
Yeah, They do play. We will look into some key players on the rosters, especially those on the Rangers and
guys
Islanders.
Who didn't make it, too.
Yeah,
Connor Bedard. People say it's a shock. Having a tough year. I'm not shocked, so.
Still, I feel like there's a lot of There's a lot of guys in that roster that you can't leave off.
I know. And but that's with both teams. It's just and you know what? A guy that hasn't got a lot of heat, because we'll get into it more, but I'm going to ask you later on, keep thinking about this now, is Vinny Trocheck deserve a spot on this team? Don't give me an answer yet, but get back to me.
Well, I feel like there was some controversy.
With Chris Kreider, more people were like, why is he on the team?
I was more confused with Kreider than Trocheck. Yeah.
We'll dive into it more because, you know, Brock Nelson made it for the Isles, and that raised a lot of question marks to fans who are unfamiliar with his game. So I will familiarize you very quickly.
And then we could dive into college basketball a little bit. It's in full swing. It was a great feast week. Clap it up for feast week. Continues to be the greatest week of my year.
Dan Hurley.
Week of my life.
Not a fan of three-game tournaments.
This is slowly turning into you either die a hero or you live long enough to become the villain.
They went very quickly from one of the most favorite teams in college basketball to a lot of people are kind of sick and tired of hearing about them. So,
Duke gets a big win over Auburn.
Yeah. Oregon.
Isaiah Evans.
Yeah.
Where was he? Where's he been, John? Where's he been? Logging DNPs against Kentucky and Arizona and Kansas.
It's a big win. I will say, though, social media saying that this is a... I mean, I had Bleacher Report all caps.
Upset
alert. Like, they're ninth in the country, and you know what? Duke is a hell of a roster.
And here's my thing, Tim. They did the same thing when UConn beat Baylor last night. They just see the number. Like, it's not an up. Like, it's not an upset.
I don't watch too much college basketball, Stan. I'm not a moron. I know how good Duke is. Come on.
And like the thing too with like Baylor and UConn, they were both missing. UConn was missing their best player in Alex Caravan, and Baylor was missing their stud freshman in VJ Edgecombe. So I feel like this is a very evenly matched game. So the people throwing out upset, and plus the AP poll means fucking nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
It means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. It doesn't mean shit. All right. Now that I have that, let's dive into some NFL. What do you want to start? Should we start off? We're definitely not talking about the Giants. Definitely not talking about the Jets either.
I mean, yeah, we can go over this real quickly. A bunch of muffed punts and Aaron Rodgers. Uh-huh. Hang the cleats up, bud. It's time.
Okay. Let's start with the two big games from last week. Let's start out with the Eagles. They take down the Ravens 24-19. Saquon Barkley puts up yet again another stellar performance. 23 carries, 107 yards, and a touchdown.
He's in the conversation, yes. And I've heard it so many times. Oh, how can the Giants let him go? Get over it. It's over. Stop.
Yeah. But to answer your question about what you're going to ask, he breaks the rushing record? Yeah. It's his, but right now it's Josh Allen's MVP to lose.
You think he breaks the rushing record?
If he breaks the rushing record, then
if
it's
he
all
breaks
his.
The rushing record, okay,
it's all his. But right now it's if Josh Allen's to lose. Let's be honest.
I was just going to mention Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills take down the 49ers 35-10. Some big stories out of this one. Of course, Josh Allen sort of cemented himself as the favorite for the MVP.
If he wasn't already.
Made that insane play. I literally said 3 weeks ago that this is Josh Allen's MVP to lose, and you looked at me like Lamar was...
I'm wrong. Well, Lamar just lost, so I'm wrong.
We know ball. That's a common theme here in this podcast. The bad news for the 49ers, I feel like this is sort of a...
Merry-go-round.
Yeah.
How many times is he going to get hurt?
Christian McCaffrey out for the year with I believe it's a partially torn PCL. It is not related to the Achilles injury that he had for the first 12 weeks of the, or 10 weeks of the year. I just do want to mention Christian McCaffrey on my fantasy team is sort of like Aaron Rodgers running out of the tunnel with the American flag.
I traded him, thankfully, a few weeks ago, before in my other league, before he even came back. I was like, what? Give me Garrett Wilson and Brian Thomas. We'll call it a deal. I don't think this guy's going to play much. So didn't really work out for me in the end, though, obviously.
Well, I had the first pick, and I didn't want to take... I feel like when McCaffrey's on the board, you have to take him. Like, after the year that he had last year. I wanted Breece Hall. I was debating with myself. Should I take Christian McCaffrey or should I take Breece Hall? I would have went wrong with either. So, there's that. Would have went wrong with either of them. I digress. What are we thinking? This is Saquon. This is Josh Allen's MVP to lose unless...
Saquon breaks the record.
Okay, how close is he? Like, that's where I need to know.
We have an extra game.
Yes.
The record, I don't know if it's 21. What is it? Is it 2,100 rushing yards? Something of that nature. I don't really remember what it is.
Rushing record. Eric Dickerson, 1,105 rushing yards. Saquon Barkley has 1,499 rushing yards. Eric Henry is also there with 1,407 rushing yards.
Well, let me ask you this. Do we get to a point, if Derrick Henry has a sick week and Saquon not so stellar performance, is there a flip where you're at the point where it's like, does Derrick Henry's name have to start being thrown around in this conversation? Or is that kind of...
I feel not necessarily, because if we're talking about an MVP, we're talking about the most valuable player.
Right. Obviously, Lamar's the best player. So.
We saw the year that the Eagles had last year and how much of a steady rapid decline it was. And then you bring in Saquon, and now all of a sudden they're this insane team, second favorite to win the NFC, possibly could get home field advantage barring a Lions loss tonight. So
let's be real here, Stan. None of this matters as long as Nick Sirianni's in the sideline, because
that is true.
That doesn't matter. They're not going to win anything.
That is true. But the shit that Josh Allen is doing, especially with the expectations that we had for them this year, and they have completely debunked them.
You don't need a receiver. You don't need a receiver. Apparently...
You do trade for Amari
Cooper. Okay. But before then. I mean, look at what KC and Buffalo's doing. And this stems to, you could point out the Jets, you could point out Miami. Obviously, Miami has a lot more glaring issues than quarterback play. But teams that build with receiver depth don't really seem to be working out too well.
Texans.
Yeah.
Texans don't look great.
No.
I know Diggs is out for the year, so that it's essentially the same team as last year. And if you believe in a sophomore slump, go ahead. But
it's one in the trenches, Stan. You got to build a line, and both these teams have pretty good O-lines.
So we got to bring up Azeez Al-Shaair eventually.
Or you could just segue into that right now. What are you doing?
I mean,
what a week for football fights, by the way.
Great. If we want to talk about fights.
Unbelievable. The Michigan
college one. College, NFL, Ryan Day shouldn't see another job.
Yeah. Not a chance. And that...
And we'll get to college football.
That Ohio State, I just want to say that Ohio State equipment manager, what are you doing? Don't be hero. Don't play hero. Don't play hero ball. Don't steal the flag. What are you doing?
Here's my message to people that are upset at flag planning. Win the fucking game.
Yeah, it's not a problem if you win. It's not a problem if you win.
It's a non-issue if you win.
So I don't get it.
There was one picture that I saw, and I know that we're kind of segueing to college football right now. There's just one picture I saw of this fucking kid spitting at Michigan. If I'm that kid, I get that framed in my house. I'm not joking.
Now that we're talking, because I got to shout out Brian Lotto here real quick. My dad, very anti flag planter until me and my brother brought him to life about of it. And he was like, all right. Because he was like, this is a joke. What are these guys doing? This is so disrespectful. I'm like, have you watched college football at all? And he's like, not really. I was like, well, everyone does this. I mean, this isn't anything out of the ordinary.
This isn't anything new. All right. Going to the NFL, back to the NFL. We've already decided that.
It's pointless to talk about the Jets and the Giants. Let's just leave it at that.
Let's just wait till April.
Next year, baby.
Yeah, just wait till April.
And they're going to screw it up. Both teams are going to screw it up.
They will. Let's look at other games around the league, other storylines. Bo Nix. Have they found something?
I said it before the year. You called me an Oregon fandom, whatever. But the thing
that's true. I wasn't big on him when he got drafted.
And the thing that Oregon does so well, and the same reason why I think Dylan Gabriel is going to be successful in the NFL, is because they are solely focused on passing percentage. So they're just trying to complete passes, get the feel of that. You look at Dylan Gabriel, he just won Big Ten Player of the Year, the highest passing percentage in all of football. Same thing with Hat. You have with Justin Herbert, high passing percentage. Even last year, same thing. He broke the passing percentage record, Bo Nix, of that Justin Herbert set. So it's just a constant theme of these guys are pro ready because they play like they're in the NFL. They're not extending plays. They're not trying to just go for the long ball every single time. They're making the smart reads. They're making the quick passes. And look what happens. Look at the turnover rate in the NFL. It's successful. It's successful.
It is. I've seen some people say that this could be a Mac Jones situation where it's like, all right, he's in a good system. But once people figure him out, it's sort of.
He's got a good head coach and he's 24 years old. I mean, he's not a young guy. This is an established guy. Well, not established, but older, establishing himself. He's been around the game for a while. I don't see this as a Mac Jones thing. I think this is a guy you can sort of build your team around.
And I think the team's already built, if you're asking me. Because this defense.
Bring back Jerry Jeudy.
I should have. But this defense is insane. Cortland Sutton's having a career year. Marvin Mims.
And this
where did
he
come from?
Exactly. And this isn't, we're not going to say, system wise. This is because he's a good quarterback. He finds the open receivers and makes good throws. These aren't like bad passes by any means.
Does he take over as the favorite for offense? Actually, no. There's no such thing as offensive rookie of the year. Is AFC rookie of the year a possibility here for Bob?
They make the playoffs 100%. 100%.
Like, am I thinking, is there anybody, like, I'm trying to find, let's see odds for AFC rookie of the year. Because I would
believe. He's got to be up there.
Or no, there is no. No, it goes by offensive or defensive.
Yeah,
sorry.
Defensive rookie of the year, yeah.
Does he take over? Do you think he has a shot against Jaden Daniels?
Well, or again, if we're looking at a situation where Washington's like on the border of, you know, they started hot. What's their record now?
They did beat Tennessee. They scored 28. They're 8-5.
I mean, look at the Broncos are 7-5. Are they 8-5 too?
They are 8-5 as well. I just think it's just because I wouldn't call it I'd say there's a talent gap between Daniels and Knicks, but.
Performance-wise, no. I will say this, though. You got to think. Look at how the team performed last year compared to this year. And I guess you could say that in both senses, but the real change was at quarterback. I mean, you look at the Broncos, new head coach, new system, new everything. Like, you know, things change around. And I guess it was more quarterback than anything. But if they slip out of a playoff spot, I feel like it's Bo Nix's to lose.
Yeah. Top five in odds right now. This is according to SBD.com or sportsbettingdime.com. Jaden Daniels is the favorite at -245. Bo Nix at +200. Brock Bowers, who's a stud, by the way.
Absolute stud. It's a shame he's not a quarterback, so.
Balled out. I thought O'Connell looked good on Friday.
I mean,
I'll say that.
I'm saying it's a shame that Brock Bowers isn't a quarterback, because if he had quarterback-like numbers with what he's putting up now, this is 100% his.
Oh, if he had a quarterback good enough to put up. All right. You were saying if he had quarterback number.
You know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying.
Yes. If he had a decent quarterback, he'd probably be the favorite, right?
Yes, 100%.
Okay. And then Caleb Williams and Bucky Irving. Speaking of the Bears, Matt Eberflus fired.
Shocker.
I don't know what the fuck was going on over there.
What's been going on over there?
I don't. It's because they have incompetent ownership.
It's been years of this.
Virginia McCaskey has her son owning the team that knows nothing about football. He has literally said on the record that he does not know anything about football. He has
sounds like Woody Johnson.
Never been into football. And the thing about this is the funny part. And Big Cat said this on Part of My Take. He thinks that with what happened with the Eberflus firing, I think George McCaskey told Ryan Poles, it's Thanksgiving, I'm with my family, don't call me, whatever. And then the game happens, Poles is trying to get a hold of McCaskey, being like, hey, this guy's an idiot, I think we should fire him, and just not answering. Eberflus speaks with the media and just keeps on saying that, I think my job's safe. And then they, as he's speaking to the media, they're probably having that meeting about firing him.
I mean, it's very viable. They fired him.
It's a disaster over there in Chicago. And we could say the same thing about the Giants, really.
Say the same thing about the fucking Jets.
Delusional family. Well, here's the thing with Woody inherited that team.
He's done a horrible job. Stan, if we had a leaderboard for worst owners in the NFL, it's Jerry Jones and then probably Woody Johnson.
I still can't believe that Jerry Jones is still around. I
had this conversation with my dad.
I'll say this too. Despite that, Cowboys string back-to-back wins.
Like it matters. At this point, you want to be losing.
Hey, I mean, any team that has a bad record that wins is great in my eyes.
I mean, I was filling
up. Teams with bad records keep on winning and my team keeps on losing.
We're living
all
large.
All is right in the world.
I was actually over break. I was filling out my application to work at the liquor store over break. You got to do it every year, whatever.
Hey, and we're back.
One of my managers, Brendan, he's a Cowboy fan. Ew. And he's talking to me. He's like, you know, Cooper Rush isn't that bad. And I'm like, we shouldn't even be having this conversation right now.
This should not be a discussion. Let's go to Atlanta.
Four interception, Kirko.
Kirk Cousins.
Here's my thing, Stan, is where the hell does he even go from this situation? Where do you even move him?
I don't know, because you're at risk of losing this division, and it's not going to end well. The last three games for Kirk Cousins, I believe it was the last three games. Yes, no touchdown passes in the last three games.
It's not good. And you got a 24-year-old on the bench that you drafted pretty high.
And you signed Kirk Cousins to that contract.
Now you're like, what do we do?
You look good at the beginning. It just seems like he doesn't have enough.
He's throwing muffins out there. I mean, they're like...
He's throwing ducks. He's throwing ducks out there. I don't know, like,
I could pick those off. I mean, they're lollipops.
When do you make the call for Michael Penix is my question.
I don't know, Stan, but right now he looks like a little leaguer going from 40-60 to 60-90 trying to make that throw from third to first. It isn't pretty. Yeah.
Vikings. Wait, sorry. Kirk Cousins makes his return to Atlanta. Return to Minnesota to take on the Vikings. What? Jesus, I can't talk.
He was great.
Yeah. I'm sure he'll get a hero's welcome, but I think at this point, let's see. I just got a, Jesus.
I'm at a point.
A presentation of mine got canceled, and we're trying to find out options for, I'm going to video myself doing it.
There you go. That's
the decision I've come up with, because I just don't like.
Yeah. You know what, Stan? I'm at a point now in the NFL where the fact that there's no parity every single year, it's the same thing every single year, the same teams every single year. I'm starting to get, maybe it's because the Jets are just so bad. And I guess that definitely plays a factor. But I'm pulling out. I'll check in on Sunday. I'll watch these games. But like, I just feel like you have a sense already of what's going to happen. Like, are the Chiefs going to three-peat? Probably. And it's going to bother me. But what are you going to do? That's where I'm at right now. What do you want me to do? Yeah.
Let's talk about the Steelers. 40. How many points? 41
or something. Mike Tomlin, shouts out to you. You've solidified in my mind you are the best head coach in football right now, and you have been for the last few years. This guy just doesn't lose.
44 points. Just
he finally got a quarterback. And look what happens.
I mean, won over 9 games with Kenny Pickett. Like, come on.
That's what I'm saying. That they're 8-3. That's the difference, is what I'm saying. You win with Kenny Pickett, and now you got Russell Wilson.
People had very low expectations going into the year with them, and it's just insane. I can't believe it.
I am. Shout out, Mike.
Clap it up. Bengals. It got to be. They're done. It's over, right? God.
And it's a shame that it is, because you look at how many points they've scored every single game they've lost, and it's like 37, 34, 28, 38.
Mm-hmm.
They're not losing by like being outplayed offensively.
Losing by a lot.
God, it's their defense sucks.
This defense is terrible. And then Bryce Young. Shout out him. He's had a rough go of it. It seems like he's finally like turning it around. I feel like he needed that benching just to be.
Give him a slap in the ass to wake up and look at it.
Yeah. Adam Thielen looked pretty good
too.
That was a
catch.
I feel like, yeah, that was a great catch. Outstanding catch by Adam Thielen.
Didn't they rule that one not a touchdown though? The other one?
No, they're. Well, I don't know. I'm talking about the one-handed one that he made in overtime, and then Hubbard fumbled the football the next play.
I'm talking about the knee down in the end zone. I could be wrong. I think they did call that, but either way, it doesn't matter.
I have breaking college football news.
What happened?
Bill Belichick has interviewed for the University of North Carolina head
coaching. No, why? What? They have a lot of. They got a lot of NIL money. That might be a good spot.
That's insane. If he, God, the Patriot way, headed to the ACC. Former Patriots head coach met with the Tar Heels amid football coach vacancy. That could be a possibility.
Brings
and
in Saban.
I can't. Can you imagine Bill Belichick fucking coaching college football?
Imagine him and he's like, Saban, I need you to DC real quick.
I really don't understand that. I think that's just a formality, but oh my God. Can you freaking imagine?
Making moves out here.
Anyway, speaking of college football, let's talk about college football rankings. I just received another insane breaking news, but this is funny. You saw the Woj article in the Post.
Did you see what Woj said?
He had prostate cancer, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. And then he said
this one.
You see the are you talking about the same thing? The comment he made.
No. This is different. Apparently, this is during election season. Apparently, Kamala Harris and like her campaign team wanted Woj to like put out a tweet to break the news that Tim Walz was going to be the VP candidate.
He had a... That's so stupid. Well,
God,
you know
I
what?
Love this country.
I'm glad he didn't. You know what he came out and said? He said why he retired. He said, "I'm sick of waiting to hear phone calls for MRIs, and then at 1 a.m. I'm getting an alert about someone with a sprained ankle. I'm just sick of doing that."
Then he realized too, like he was at Mortensen's funeral, and like no one, like his close friends were there, but like people that like worked at ESPN like weren't there at the funeral. And he was like this is all you really have here is family and close friends. Nobody else gives a shit.
I mean, that's the industry he's in, which is sad to say, but you got to be on your phone 17 hours a day. It's kind of a rough life to live.
Yeah. And it's crazy, like, how stressful, like, his job was. And then he takes a general manager job of a Division I college basketball team.
Yeah.
Which is one of the more stressful jobs on the planet.
Now, with NIL money, are you kidding me?
That's crazy. All right. Let's go to the college football playoff rankings. We have a pretty big debate to come. This is why college football is the greatest. It's just, I feel like everything
Oregon hasn't moved.
Oregon has not moved. I'm just sorry. And I'm going to say this. I hate the automatic bids. I'm sorry.
I don't like it either.
I think that the top four seeds in the rankings should be the top four seeds.
That's what I was.
So I think Oregon should be one. Texas should be two. Penn State should be three. Notre Dame should be four.
And I agree with you on that 100%. My only issue is the way college football is set up is a lot of these teams like SMU, they don't get a chance to play some of these top collegiate schools. So they're not really going to get a fair shot at being in the top four. So I understand why they structured it like this. But then you have stupid matchups like 5 versus 12 that nobody wants to watch.
12 is going to be
like that's not there's no upset there. That's never going to happen.
And plus, still, though, if you're the 5 seed, you gain the advantage.
Yeah.
If you win, you play the 4.
It's like, I don't know.
And the 4 seed isn't that good. Like, that's the thing.
The
like,
4 seed's a 12 seed. That's what a 4 seed is nowadays.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't Texas slated in the 4 right now, though, so it may be a little different.
Texas is the 2. So this is the bracket projection, what it looks like. Oregon's at 1. They would play the winner of Tennessee, Ohio State. That game would be at Ohio State. Texas is 2. They would play the winner of Indiana and Georgia in Athens. That game will be in Athens. SMU, the committee is saying that SMU, they're banking on SMU to win the championship. They would play the winner of Alabama, Notre Dame. And I'm sorry, they shouldn't be in. Alabama should not be in.
No.
They shouldn't be in.
But that's how this is going to work. It happened last year. It happened this year.
It's to the point where it's become an invitational. Like, that's what it is.
Just for them,
though. It's become just for SEC schools. It's just become an invitation at this point.
And I get it.
But nonetheless...
And I get it.
It's stupid.
I get it. I get they're going off, you know, they have to take like strength of schedule into account, matchups, how those games went. But this is
lost to Vanderbilt in Oklahoma.
100%. That's exactly what I'm saying. Is if you want to treat this like football, go just based off you're a 9-1 team. You're a 9-1 team. That's where we're at now.
Yeah, I don't understand. And then 4 seed Boise State would take on the winner of Penn State, Arizona State. So how do we see this? How do we see this finalized? On Sunday morning, because I don't know.
I you know what, and it's the same thing what happened last year with FSU is we're not gonna know. We're not gonna have a clue until it comes out. And like again, what Oregon?
Here's the thing. I like how these conference championships are when you're in.
Yeah,
but not dessert. Like it's not like win and you're a top 4 seed immediately. It shouldn't be that.
Yeah, because I mean, say hypothetically. Say that, I mean, I don't think this is going to happen by any means. I think Oregon's going to blow Penn State out of the water. But say hypothetically this does happen. Oregon loses in like a 5 overtime game by like a point.
Yeah.
And now they don't get a bye as a 12-1 team, 11-1 team.
I would feel like you're better off losing that Big Ten game and then you're a 5.
Right. It is better off.
You just have a fucking cakewalk to this semifinal.
Right. But that doesn't, exactly. It shouldn't work like that. It shouldn't be it 5 seeds where you want to be.
Like, I don't understand.
Because I get what you're saying. You make the bye teams like powerhouses, and then you're like, okay, I don't want to. Either way, we're screwed because we got to play this team after. But now it's like I got to play SMU, and not taking anything away from SMU. They had a fantastic season, but like a team like Georgia versus, are you kidding me?
Yeah, Carson Beck's not good. And I will say, I knew Georgia Tech was going to keep it close against them because Georgia Tech's pretty good. But come on,
no, he stinks. And all those pictures of him coming out on the—it's so funny.
I don't understand. So let's just take, these are the six big games, two on Friday, four on Saturday. Tulane and Army in the AAC. I would assume that if Boise State loses,
Army gets it.
And if Army wins, Army gets it. I think that if UNLV wins and Army, that's basically the same scenario. But let's say if UNLV wins, beats Boise State, Army loses, UNLV gets it, Arizona State gets moved up to four.
But it's like, again, and now that we're talking, now the more like you talk about it, the more you think about it, like, why the fuck would I want to watch 12 Army play? Like, why? Why would I want to watch that? And I've been pulling for Army all year. I've been that, you know what? Oh my God, Army's, they've been on a run.
I don't think they win the game though. Tulane's favored by five.
It does, but we shouldn't even be talking about this. That's what I'm trying to get at. We shouldn't even be having this conversation.
And then Big 12 game. When and you're in. Iowa State, Arizona State. Arizona State's favored by two. I think Arizona State takes us.
Yeah, I mean,
it's just weird seeing this new, like,
we're going to have to get used to it, obviously.
It's weird seeing this new Big 12 and, like, they're playing their championship game. And
we're going to get to have to use this whole format, these new team, new divisions, everything, because obviously this is brand new to us as it is to them.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, it's the same thing, like, with Rob Manfred, like, making these bullshit rules. It's just, like, I don't.
This was what I saw, and I will talk about
it. We'll get to the golden hitter rule, whatever the fuck he wants to name it.
So stupid.
This isn't Little League or, like, MLB Arcade. No, you made the bases bigger.
I get it.
I don't at all. Okay. I don't at all. And you know what it is? If you do some bullshit like that, it would be like, I don't even know, like in the NHL where you're just like,
yeah.
I don't even have a comparison.
I just think
you took a penalty shot. You're just like, you could pick anyone on your bench to take a penalty shot.
Yeah. It's like Olympic shootout where you just like pick anyone.
Exactly.
To fucking
exactly.
Go.
Exactly.
But the thing with Manfred was, like, I think he's on, like, oh, I can do anything now that, like, his last, like,
get two this man rule out changes, of here. Get this man out of here.
His last two rule changes have, you know, worked with the pitch clock and the bigger bases, like, and the runner on second.
No. That's not, that hasn't worked. That hasn't worked with anyone.
Because it's quicker games. I fuck with it. I like it.
I don't. And especially when I do not at all. I do not. That. And then when it comes down to it, Stan, and say the Yankees are the difference between them making a wild card and them whatever is because you start a guy starts on second base and they bunted him over twice and you lose. Like, are you? I stop.
True. All right. Well, we haven't gotten to that scenario yet. But all right. Back to college football. Where do you
fuck you,
think,
Rob Manfred?
Wow. Where do you think everyone ends up?
Oregon stays like, warm.
I would assume so.
I don't know if there's going to be so much change in. I think it's more the bottom seeds and then like one bye.
If Boise State loses, I don't think they make it. Actually, maybe.
But that's
is there
the thing.
A world where Boise State wins and they still make it?
Like,
and they're still the group of five team?
I don't know. And that's where
because
we're.
Because here's the thing. If it's close against UNLV, we're like, okay, you lost against the second best group of five team. Wait, no, sorry. No, sorry. 12 seed has to be a conference champion. I apologize.
I will say this, Stan, is we're not going to have a real feel of how this process actually works. Not even this year. We're going to need like 2 years down the road where we've seen this at least three times where we can be like, this is how they make their decisions. Yeah, like this is how teams get in. And obviously, I guarantee next year there's going to be some controversy where a team who clearly record-wise shouldn't be in, but they're somehow going to get in like Bama did last year or Bama's going to do this year. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
Okay. Jack Curry went on Michael K today. Do you want to hear some Juan Soto news?
Yeah, sure.
He was told by someone in the know that the decision is looming. And he said that he'd be shocked if this contract isn't resolved before the winter meetings and next week.
I did see that. I did see the whole winter meetings thing.
He also said that Juan Soto is expected to get a 14 or 15 year deal that exceeds a $40 million AAV.
Mm-hmm.
He also could not confirm the Mark Feinsand report that the Yankees will get the chance to match any final offers.
I think out of courtesy they will, but I'm starting to get to a point where like the Mets are going to, you know, obviously the Mets have the money to get into a bidding war or whatever. And okay. Yeah, I would love to have Juan Soto on a 14-year deal. But if I see a contract that says $800 million, I'm going to raise a few eyebrows, because then I'm thinking you need
He's not getting $800 million, but he's definitely going to be in that 600 range.
I'm hearing 700.
I think he deserves that.
You know what? I think so too, but then I'm not going to say that undervalue Shohei's contract, but would you rather have Shohei or Juan Soto for $700 million? And I think the question for me is pretty clear. The answer is clear.
Well, yeah, but like we'd see that how much is Shohei's 698, right? Or no, 700.
700.
698 of it is deferred. But I don't know. This is going to be interesting.
The problem is with this whole debacle too, is it's going to take time, and yeah, it'll happen in the winter meetings, but we're not getting any information about anyone else until this is done.
This is why MLB free agency is the fucking worst.
Mm-hmm.
It's
because
in the NBA and the NHL, they do it the best. It's, and the NFL too, where it's, you're allowed to negotiate until the beginning of the offseason, from the beginning of the new league year until when free agency opens.
Yeah.
And then when free agency opens, it becomes a fucking frenzy.
Go crazy. That's why they call it the free agent frenzy for hockey.
Yeah.
You literally have a segment on NHL Network called free agent frenzy.
In baseball, it's just like, oh, you can sign. Like, you can negotiate and sign now.
Which is annoying.
And it takes forever. And you have asshole agents like Scott Boras that are stubborn, number one. Take care of the whole league, number two.
Yeah.
Like,
you need more agents. You can't have one guy just distributing all these superstars' contracts. But for me, the reason why the MLB offseason sucks is because there's really no cap. I mean, no team cares anymore about paying luxury tax. So no matter what.
Brian Cashman does.
All right. Well, I'm just saying, once that one guy gets signed, in this case being Juan Soto, the whole market resets. Everyone's overvalued. Everyone wants this. Everyone wants that. And it's like, I don't know. With the NHL, you have a hard cap. So there's really no market reset. It's like, we can offer you this. A team can offer you a little bit more. You saw it with Steven Stamkos this year. That's just what happens. But the MLB, it becomes bidding wars. And then it takes forever like it is right now.
So let's take a look at some of the baseball news over the past couple of weeks. Let's start with Blake Snell. 5-year deal with the Los Angeles Dodgers gives a possible rotation now of Blake Snell, Shohei Ohtani, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Tyler Glasnow, Bobby Miller, and one of either Tony Gonsolin or Dustin May.
Shoot me now.
Then I heard a decision is imminent for Roki Sasaki to sign with, you guessed it, the Los Angeles Dodgers. So, Tim, is life worth living?
I've had it up to here with them. When can we have a conversation where you can't defer this much money? Because they're deferring over $1 billion until 2031. Are you kidding me?
Blake Snell in his past three seasons has thrown a 2.82 ERA with opponents hitting 190 with 550 strikeouts and a 10.8 F-WAR. His 12 Ks per 9 innings leads all starting pitchers during the span with a minimum of 350 innings pitched. It's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. You hear what he said, too? He had an interview with MLB Network, Snell.
What is that?
When they asked him why he signed with the Dodgers, they have three Hall of Famers at the top of their lineup. Why would I not want to pitch for them? I can't deal with that being the selling point for the next 150 whatever. I'm so sick of it. And if they if they throw a bazillion dollars at Juan Soto and get him, I'm done watching baseball. I'm done. Because the Mets won't win anything. No one else is going to win anything.
Forgot about another thing. Another trade that happened aside from... I feel like we haven't heard any trades in a while. But anyway, where is it? Didn't I just see it? Or did it happen? When did Duke play Arizona? That happened the night of, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, Jonathan India is going to the Kansas City Royals. I can't find the details. There we go. Reds get Brady Singer, and the Royals get Jonathan India and Joey Weimer. This is a go-for-it trade, I feel, if you're the Kansas City Royals. Division's pretty wide open. I like it, too.
You don't got to give up a lot.
You don't got to give up a lot, number one. Number two, you have one of the best middle infields in baseball. And number three, you don't really have to spend money. Now you can kind of focus on getting a big DH back, which is something you desperately needed. So
Santander
would be big. maybe Jorge Soler, maybe Teoscar Hernandez even.
I like Soler, but out of those three names.
But no, he just signed with the Angels. I'm a fucking idiot. Sorry. Teoscar Hernandez, I meant. Yes.
Either way, I just, they're due to make a big splash. I know they don't have a history of buying too many guys, but I think they're kind of in a situation now where it's time to.
I think they go all in.
Mm-hmm. Why not?
You have the pitching. You have the bullpen. You just needed the hitting. Just needed the hitting. Another one. Yusei Kikuchi signs a 3-year, $63 million deal with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
What are they doing?
LOL. LOL.
Why do they do this? Why do they do this every day? Let's just take away guys from other teams that need them more because we're the Angels.
Yusei Kikuchi, after being traded to the Astros last year through 60 innings, 76 strikeouts with a 2.7 ERA and a 0.93 whip, he ranked fifth among strikeout-to-walk percentage among qualified starting pitchers over the past two seasons.
I told you, Stan, they make starting pitching moves like it's nothing, and they go 80 and 82 every year.
Yes, they do. Let's see. Brewers plan to hang on to Devin Williams until at least the All-Star break. Nolan Arenado, likely to be traded, and he's willing to play first base for a potential new team.
Yeah, I think the elite defense from Arenado at third's kind of gone. He's still a good defender.
No, it's the bat.
Yeah.
It's the bat that's the issue. And something tells me that the Yankees might make a move for him.
I saw the Mets too, which I hated.
That would be disgusting.
I hated. They were like, oh, make a trade, start him at third.
Also, according to The Athletic, the Cleveland Guardians are willing to move Josh Naylor and Lane Thomas.
For what?
Don't know. That literally just happened now. In other words, in other news, Tommy Edman, this is rapid fire, 5 years, $74 million extension with the Dodgers. Tommy Edman this postseason was NLCS MVP, hit .328 with 2 home runs, 13 RBIs, and 5 stolen bases.
It's deferred.
And guess what? It's deferred money. And speaking of the Mets, Frankie Montas signs a 2-year, $34 million deal. I feel like it's pretty good.
I think.
I feel like.
Cheaper than Sevy. Like
cheaper than Sevy, number one. Number two, I feel like the Mets could get something out of him.
They did with Sevy.
I feel like he had a good stint with the Reds.
My big thing is, you get him, he has a great relationship with Sean Manaea. That's inclined for Sean Manaea to stay. And honest to God, if you're a Mets fan, obviously Soto is probably your number one issue. Number two, you have to re-sign Sean Manaea. Without him, we're nowhere this year.
Yeah, you gotta.
He's the ace.
You gotta. This one made me laugh, and I don't know if you're ready for this. The Mets.
As a starter, I don't get it. I know you let Lugo go. That definitely leaves a salty taste in your mouth, but... Clay Holmes? Really?
Yeah. And as I mentioned, spending money for the Royals plan to pursue a middle-of-the-order bat, more likely to be acquired through trade rather than free agency.
They don't want to pay.
Exactly. Aroldis Chapman, 1 year, $10 million to the Boston Red Sox.
It was never an arm talent issue.
Their late-inning right-handed pitcher bullpen options, Liam Hendricks, Justin Slayton, Aroldis Chapman. That's not bad.
Is Kenley Jansen retired?
I believe he's a free agent, if I'm not mistaken.
They bring him back?
Yeah, Kenley Jansen's a free agent. I feel like if anyone signs him, he'll be a factor.
Yeah.
He had a pretty good year, I would assume, I think.
Well, let me ask you this, because now we're talking about the Red Sox a little bit. If they get Juan Soto, does this team, like, legitimately... I know, obviously, getting Soto is like...
They still need to get a starter.
Yeah, I agree, okay.
They still need to get a high-end starter.
Because I thought their lineup last year was honestly not terrible. Hitting wasn't the issue.
Yes. According to John Morosi, the Cubs and the Reds are viable candidates to acquire Garrett Crochet.
You want to pay? All right. If you want to pay that much for him, go do it.
Go for it. Why not? Let's see. Other ones as well. Yankees could swing big for Willy Adames if Juan Soto signs elsewhere. Saw that. According to Morosi, the Mariners are one of the teams to discuss Alec Boehm with the Phillies.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's a team that needs help hitting. That's been their MO for a while.
Fair enough. I already mentioned open to trade offers for Josh Naylor and Lane Thomas. Luis Severino signs a deal, 3 years, $67 million with the A's. It is the largest guarantee in the history of the franchise.
I will say this. You just have to be happy for him, especially going into last year. There was question marks if this guy was really ever going to have a home. He had a great year with the Mets. I'm happy that they threw money for him. And you know what? All that guaranteed money to not have to play baseball in October?
That's true.
Why not?
Potential rotation for the A's. Luis Severino, JP Sears, Joey Estes, Mitch Spence, JT Ginn.
Yeesh.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's awful.
we're going to get to the final thing when you hear this. Teams among as the main players for Corbin Burnes, the Yankees, the Blue Jays, the Red Sox, the Giants, and the Orioles. That was according to Heyman. The Astros have offered Alex Bregman a 6-year, $156 million contract, per Astros beat reporter Brian McTaggart. He is believed to be seeking closer to $200 million. And then last but not least, John Heyman, about 45 minutes ago, just said that the A's made a big offer to Sean Manaea before agreeing to the Luis Severino deal.
Clearly he said no, which is great.
That's good.
I think
it's good for now.
I'm at a point where they sign Montas. I think he knows too. I mean, everyone knows. Once the Soto deal is done, they can address other issues.
Yeah, then it's good.
I don't think he wants to go anywhere. I mean, he finally has a home as a one or two guy on a competitive baseball team that's willing to pay him. I don't see a reason for him to leave.
Yeah. And then last but not least, back to Jack Curry and Michael Kay. He says that he's always had a gut feeling that Juan Soto will be a Yankee in 2025. He thinks that Soto will ultimately tilt to the Yankees if their offer is competitive, which it has been so far.
I imagine so. I'm at a point now where...
It's gotten to the point where it's like... Every time that they've like needed to do get something done, they've gotten it done. They did it with Gerrit Cole in 19. They did it with Aaron Judge in 22. This is just something that they have to get done.
And that's what I'm saying. This just feels like an Aaron Judge situation all over again. I don't. Obviously, there was so much buzz about him going elsewhere, the Aaron Judge situation. I'm seeing too much about other teams having quality meetings with Juan Soto to honestly firmly...
And meetings mean nothing.
Yeah.
They do, but like...
Not a lot. And I just don't... I don't see a world kind of where he doesn't end up as a Yankee.
I don't either. I hope.
Like, as much as I would love him to be a Met, I feel like the Mets probably have a good plan B. I would imagine if they get Soto, Willy Adames definitely has a shot at being a Met. I would say that. Yeah. I also saw Carlos Correa's name get thrown around a little bit. I know there's a ton of guys that they're... Yeah. There's a ton of guys that they want to go after and get. Obviously, starting pitching is the main concern. I would address that issue before anything, but I'm not... David Stearns, he knows what he's doing, so we'll just have to see how this plays out. No one knows anything about Juan Soto.
All right, let's go to hockey real quick. We're almost an hour in. Let's start with the Rangers. It's not good, and it's just
effort. Shesterkin has been losing games. Like, it hasn't even...
Yeah, part of me wants to say it's a bad stretch, but it's not. At the same time, I think that this is bad.
Yeah, they kind of feel like they're...
And you can go through as many coaches and as many general managers as you
personnel.
Want.
Personnel. It's the players.
Personnel. And it's like, this team is in... this is why you hired Peter Laviolette to win a Stanley Cup, okay?
They're in limbo right now.
They are in limbo. And you were... Yeah, they're still in the... I would assume they're still... Let me see the wild card. They're
second
still
wild
in
card.
A playoff spot. The first tied for the first wild card. But... This is just terrible. It's not good.
Yeah.
It's just pitiful hockey. And it's just like, even when they had, like, they were put to the test, like, their only, like, good win this year was against Toronto. Or good win against a good team was against Toronto.
Yeah. And
we all know Toronto. They were put to the test against Florida, lost. They were put to the test against Washington, lost. They were put to the test against Winnipeg, lost. They were put to the test... against Edmonton, got mollywopped. They were put to the test against Carolina, lost. Against the Devils, lost.
And
like, this is not...
It feels like right now for me, them and the Isles, while they are in different points of the standings, are sort of in the same situation. Obviously, Isles are dealing with injury, whatever, but you say they're even healthy. They gave contracts, big contracts, to players that at the time deserve them. And as you go a few years down the line, you don't get the results in production. It starts to bite you in the ass because you can't move them.
No. And this is why you should have got... And I hate to like put blame on Chris Jurie because I think he's done a good job building this team. And there have been some moves where... There have been some moves where I've been like, okay, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, i.e. Jack Roslovic and Alex Wenberg. But it's like... You had an opportunity to get it done over the summer.
Yeah.
And get all this over with. And you could have money to sign Igor.
Yeah,
and just haven't.
It's the problem with the NHL. Well, not a problem, but the difference with the NHL and all these other leagues is, again, it's a hard cap. So you are making investments on guys, and there's no real flip turnaround. You can't just get rid of them like, say, you would in the NBA or you would in the NFL. You just cut a guy. you're stuck in this situation where, like, that's it. Either they're not producing and then you got to go down in your farm system and hope something else works out, or hope that you can, like, mix up the lines. But once you've got a guy on a long-year deal, you're stuck with him.
I just think it's just over. It's not, like, the time to make a trade like this.
No, it's like, a little early.
It isn't the time of year to do it.
It's a little early, yeah.
And with how bad the Eastern Conference is, we saw teams blow it up last year and still make the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. And you look at it, the standings now, I mean, obviously the wildcard standings are what they are, but it's tight in the Eastern Conference, the wildcard race, but that separation from the top three to the four, they're starting to gain a little ground. Carolina, Jersey, Washington, all, what, 5 points more than the Rangers, 6 points more than the Rangers. It's the same thing that usually happens to the Isles, Stan. And if this does happen to the Rangers this year, it's a nail biter come playoff time because you're fighting for every point you can get. So this, it's going to come down to, you need to lose games in overtime if you're going to lose. You need to sneak out like a 1-0 win, a 2-0 win. And right now, I don't think the Rangers are used to doing that. I don't think they're used to this.
They aren't. They aren't. And, like, they take on the Penguins on Friday.
And you should beat them.
They won four straight.
And Pittsburgh plays you well. So it's like, and this thing about the NHL too is, it's not like, again, like the NBA or the NFL where they go against a bottom feeding team and it's like, oh, it's an automatic win. You have no idea. You literally have no idea what's going to happen. Every single night, you have no clue. So I think it's a preparedness for them because they look a little sluggish. They look a little slow. The power play is not what it was last year. It's 5-on-5 scoring was an issue last year, Stan. That was kind of, and now and when you don't have a power play that's at 30% clip, it's kind of what happens.
Yeah. And it's the same thing with, I feel like this just reminds me of the second Gallant year where it was like, okay, we're just going to stumble our way into the playoffs and then we'll turn it up then. And that's what ended up screwing them.
Yeah. And it's again, the Isles do it every year. It's not really a viable system to live by because that's just the NHL. I mean, anyone could win any night, like I said, and if you're just going to turn it up playoff time, especially in the hardest division in the entire league, it doesn't work.
It's not going to work. All right, let's go to Four Nations.
We can talk about the Isles real quick and their woes, because I'll just stumble through this real quick. Yeah, it has been bad. We can talk about anything we want. They play every night. They play a great 40 minutes of hockey. And then the third period happens. Their third period goal differential this year, I think, might be minus 17, minus 15, somewhere in that range. If you add the goals they've allowed in the first and second period combined, it is still less than the amount of goals they've allowed in the third period. So I'm not really sure how you fix this issue. You can't be afraid to play another 20 minutes every night. I'm going to call out Patrick Waugh here, as much as I do like him as a coach and a player coach. I don't fully believe in his system. They run in the third period. They give up the red line. So they run a 3-2, which is just almost unheard of. And they allow teams to chip and chase and grind away. And they let up goals like they have constantly. I mean, they go back last week. They blew three games in a row in the third period, all up two goals. So you're living in a situation where you could say they're stuck in limbo. You could say they're dealing with injuries, but it's a structural thing. It's hockey sense that they're lacking. It's missed D-zone coverages. And I'm going to call out Noah Dobson here. No, guys that you need to be producing aren't producing. Noah Dobson is not producing on the score sheet, but he's not producing defensively either. He's probably, I don't know the stats-wise, but he might have the lowest, I think he does have the lowest plus-minus of any defenseman in the team in the third period. You could say that's due to him playing a ton, but it's just a mental thing where they're less aggressive as I'm watching when we get to the third. They seem like they're on their heels, and they're doing it every single night. You go back to the Montreal game. They lose in overtime on Laine's first day back. It's a 1-1 game in the third period. I don't even know if they had a scoring chance in the third period that wasn't off a rush. They didn't have any sustained pressure. And you're not going to win games like that. They're 9-10-7. 9-10-7. That's almost have disgusting. As many overtime losses as they do games won, which is horrible. Awful.
It's gross.
They are 1-7 this year going into overtime. Horrendous. So they get to the extra 5 minutes. They can't win a game there. So it starts from head coaching down. There has to be a message sent. And the Brock Nelson line can't be our only good line. We're not getting production from the third, which you don't. I mean, you're an Isles fan. You know, you're kind of used to this. You're not getting production from the third and fourth line, which we kind of need right now with Duclair out, Barzal out. Varlamov's now out day to day. Adam Pellick skating today, but he's still out long term. Mike Riley, I don't even know if he's going to play hockey again. I don't know what the hell's going on with him. He's getting heart surgery. So they have gaps they need to fill. And they don't have much wiggle cap room. So I don't know what they're going to do. You can keep calling guys up. but I don't know.
All right. Last thing on the Rangers, then we'll talk about Four Nations. Elliot Friedman went on NHL Network today and said this regarding the Rangers. Chris Drury is using this 3-day break to do a deep dive on all of his players to see what he can and can't do.
What number the fuck two, does that mean?
I don't know. It's believed that Jacob Trouba will not be pleased with the trade, which affects the interest in him. And number three, a team that the Rangers are talking to, the Ottawa Senators.
Okay. I don't even know who you can go at. Do you try and get a guy like Shabbat? Do you try and get
Brady?
There is no way in hell you were getting Brady Tkachuk.
Guy's my white whale. Brady Tkachuk's my white whale.
Yeah,
I love that guy.
I mean, you got a shot at getting like Shane Pinto. I think a move, honestly, right now, just even if it's minuscule, like a minuscule trade, would just be a wake-up call to the Rangers. Be like, none of your jobs are safe. We're moving guys around. And
well, we tried that, and then we responded by going like 1-4.
Okay. Obviously something, but I mean, like an everyday guy getting moved, like a third liner, a fourth line, someone who's been playing, you know, consistent minutes, be like, hey, it's not working out here. I'm sorry. It just had to be you. We're going to move on and move forward. And like, it's the NHL market. Like, you don't see a lot of trades during the season. Like big name, you don't see.
Yeah, you don't.
It's trade deadline, really. I mean, this is kind of the team you live with, and you'll see minor trades, guys moving picks. Like goaltenders got moved the other day for like a 7th round pick. You'll see backup guys get moved. You don't really see first line guys get moved, second line guys get moved, even third line guys. It's all deadline. So, I think Rangers' best bet right now is to chip away and hold the playoff spot until you get to that trade deadline, which I know is a little ways away. And they have time to recoup. You chip away and you get to a trade deadline. They got some assets. You know, you haven't given a look at oh my gosh, no, I'm going to forget his name, but who's the, oh my God, right wing prospect. So good. Brendan Offerman. Forget about that. He might make the team next year.
Yeah. At this point,
you don't trade him. He's like your best asset. I say move it. You haven't given Offerman a shot. I say if it hasn't worked out here, he still has value. Yeah. Go and move him.
Yeah, he's got some great value. All right. Four Nations. Should we start with Finland and then Sweden, then Canada, then the United States, or then the United States and Canada?
Yeah, we can finish the United States and Canada.
So for those who don't know, this Four Nations face-off is basically replacing the All-Star game, and it's going to be... Tim can explain it better than I can.
So it's essentially, if you guys remember the World Cup of Hockey, where all the teams sort of came together in the middle of the year and the countries played against each other. It's four countries. It's Canada, Finland, Sweden, USA. Which I would say are the top four of the top five. Obviously, Russia got left off for political reasons, but we won't get into that. And it's, what is it? It's a round robin, right? Everyone plays each other once, and then...
Yes.
Okay.
And then I think that they're from points. It's just
something like that.
The top 2 point getters play each other, something like that. So it all consists of NHL players, too. There's no, like, professional...
Like, this isn't like the Olympics where they got guy, like, the Swedish national team that's been playing together all year and just adds a few NHL guys and goes out and goes to gold because they've been playing together all year. It's not it.
Okay. So, Finland, some notable guys. Kaapo Kakko will be playing. Sebastian Aho of the Carolina Hurricanes. Roope Hintz of the Dallas Stars. Sasha Barkov of the Florida Panthers. Mikko Rantanen of the Colorado Avalanche. Teuvo Teravainen, the Chicago Blackhawks. Miro Heiskanen of the Dallas Stars. Nico Mikkola, former Ranger. Predators goalie, Yusei Saros. Probably the backup's going to be Sabres goalie, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen.
UPL, baby. UPL. Laine made the team, too.
Laine made the team as well. I forgot to mention him.
I will say, coming off an injury, he might be kind of a power play god for them. I feel like he might fit really well with his team. He doesn't have to do much but shoot.
Yeah. So what do we think of this team? Like, what do we, like...
It's
hard to, like...
They're all so deep, and it's not that they're constructed differently. It's the different skill level that USA and Canada... obviously, these are the next two up, but USA and Canada obviously have that forward skill gap. But grit-wise and physicality-wise and the way that these teams mesh, I mean, you see these finish and speed teams going deep because, I mean, these guys, they all speak the same language finally again for the first time forever. Yeah. And... they just mesh well as a team because a lot of these guys grew up playing together. This isn't like Canada or the U.S. where you know, they have the NCAA, the CHL. These guys play on the Finnish national team their whole lives, and then they go play again. So it's nothing they're not used to. I don't know. I can't rank these. I can't. They're all good.
That's true. All right. Sweden, some notable guys.
hurt right now, actually. You knew it was happening. Does this feel warranted, or just he earned it from
past experience? He's the golden boy of that team.
Him and Carlson.
Yeah. William Nylander of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Rasmus Dahlin of the Buffalo Sabres. Victor Hedman of the Tampa Bay Lightning. Erik Karlsson of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Gustav Forsling of the Florida Panthers. If Connor McDavid did not exist, I would feel that Gustav Forsling would have won the Conn Smythe.
100%.
Are we all in agreement on that?
100%. Yes.
Matthias Ekholm of the Edmonton Oilers. And then the goalies. Hard to determine a starter for this one. Filip Gustavsson of the Wild. Jacob Markstrom of the Devils. And Linus Ullmark of the Ottawa Senators.
This might be we play one each game and then figure it out for the
and
fourth.
And then see what happens.
Because I have no idea. I don't know anything about this. I don't know who they're going to pick for goalie. What I will say is I really like this team. Just from top to bottom, the way they can lay out.
Do you want me to say it?
They're mine too. Okay, I'm glad we're on the same page.
They're my pick.
They're my pick.
And I saw the lines for their first games against Canada. They are plus 215.
There is no world, and it's so crazy because Canada's just that good. There's no world that this team is a plus 215 team. This is like top to bottom. They have very good two-way forwards. Adrian Kempe, Joel Arcinek, even Leo
Carlson. Yeah, I was just going to mention Adrian Kempe as well.
Even Leo Carlson's on this team. They got young guys, Elias Lindholm.
Elias Lindholm.
They have goal scoring, they have defense, they have goaltending, and they're going to be meshed well.
It's a complete team.
Yeah, it's really,
a complete
from top
team.
To bottom.
All right. Canada's roster. Some notable guys.
Bennett. Single one of them.
Every single guy on this team is notable. I think we can just like name it now. Sam Bennett of the Panthers. Seth Jarvis of the Hurricanes, Connor McDavid, Anthony Cirelli of the Lightning, Travis Konecny of the Flyers, Braden Point for the Lightning,
Captain Crosby,
Sidney Crosby, Nate MacKinnon, Sam Reinhart, Brandon Hagel of the Tampa Bay Lightning, Brad Marchand, Mark Stone, Mitch Marner. Defenseman, Cale Makar, Devon Taves, Shea Theodore, Alex Pietrangelo, Josh Morrissey, and then this is where it kind of goes south. I hate that goalie room.
This is the one thing for me that kind of drops them from like 1-2 to maybe 3, because goaltending's gonna be like a huge part in this. And as good as
Jordan Binnington of the St. Louis Blues, Aiden Hill of the Vegas Golden Knights, and Sam Montembeault of the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah, that's gonna be their one fault. And if it's gonna come down to it, because teams like USA, Sweden, all have good goaltending and good goal scoring. So we'll see.
Baseball scoop alert. Nothing major. The Yankees, Mariners, and Astros have checked in about a Cody Bellinger trade.
He wants out. If you said this earlier, we can pull up the clip from the trade offseason last year, whatever. He would look good in pinstripes. I've been saying that. I'm not a Yankees fan, and he looks like he's been a Yankee.
All right.
Before we get to the United States, I do want to say the one thing that Canada has that most teams don't, if you look at their defensive group, a lot of these guys have play together now. They're on the same team. You can have a two-pair.
McCarr and Taves.
Theodore and Pietrangelo. So you can have two lines that already exist. That's already a benefit for a team. Already a benefit.
Yeah. All right. The United States of America. Matt Boldy of the Minnesota Wild. Jack Hughes of the Devils. Brock Nelson of the
only
Islanders.
Woo!
The only Islander. Kyle Connor of the Winnipeg Jets. Chris Kreider of the New York Rangers. Brady Tkachuk of the Ottawa Senators. Jack Eichel of the Vegas Golden Knights, Dylan Larkin from the Red Wings, Matthew Tkachuk from the Panthers, Jake Guentzel from the Lightning, Austin Matthews from the Maple Leafs, Vincent Trocheck from the New York Rangers, JT Miller.
Question mark. I don't know how that's going to work.
Do you think he plays in this?
I don't know. Hopefully, you know what? Because we don't even know what's going on. Hopefully, whatever he's dealing with mentally, he gets that figured out, gets settled out. Don't even worry about this.
Defenseman, Brock Faber, the Minnesota Wild, Noah Hanifin of the Vegas Golden Knights, Jacob Slavin of the Carolina Hurricanes, Adam Fox from the New York Rangers, Quinn Hughes from the Vancouver Canucks, Zach Werenski.
He's having a hell of a year. Yeah, Werenski's having a hell of a year. Yeah.
Yes, of the Columbus Blue Jackets, and Charlie McAvoy of the Boston Bruins. And then the goalies. I feel like this room can compete with Sweden's. It's Connor Hellebuck of the Winnipeg Jets, Jake Ottinger, the Dallas Stars, and Jeremy Swayman.
So far, yeah. But I mean, Hellebuck's off of Vesna. And again, there's chemistry already with this team. Guys like Tkachuk. I mean, you put them on are you putting them on the same line? You could have Jack Eichel center that. Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
have
Austin Matthews too.
This is an unbelievably deep team from top to bottom. And the thing that I like, especially with how Bill Guerin really went about molding this team, is You're going to have people say Cole Caulfield should have been on here. Tage Thompson is, he was getting the right guys, not the best guys. And you need defensive forwards to win, especially against experienced teams like the Finns and the Swedes who have those guys. Even Ken, I mean, Crosby plays both ways. They all do. But guys like Vinny Trocheck, guys like Brock Nelson, guys like Matthew Boldy, grit grinder guys who all have skill and could score goals. I mean, they're going to play a bigger part in this tournament than people think. And you're going to look at them and be like, oh, you know what? Why are they here? Well, you're going to see very quickly why they're on the team.
To interrupt real quick, Vince Mercogliano of Low HUD, he's a writer for the Rangers, just put out an article of five teams who are circling as possible deal makers for a possible trade. Anaheim Ducks are one.
They should be.
No shit. Probably Vetrano or Zegras, even.
I think Zegras is like the next guy up to come home. He lived in New York his whole life, so.
Yeah. The Nashville Predators.
If they
they're kind of having, they're having a disappointing year.
They lost last night to Toronto. They blew it in the third, so. Yeah.
Ottawa is on here. We mentioned them before. The Seattle Kraken.
Does a guy like Jordan Eberle come to you guys?
I don't know. Let's see. Who? Yanni Gourde gets mentioned here, but that's going to take a lot.
There's going to be a move. The Rangers are...
There is going
to
be a move.
The Rangers are the team right now to make a move in the NHL. They have the guys. They need to make a change. So.
And then Seattle has a few other pending UFAs likely to be available in forwards Brandon Tanev and Daniel Sprong, as well as defenseman Will Borgen.
Tanev would bring a saltiness you guys don't have.
Yeah. And then the last one on here, the Utah Hockey Club.
Who,
some
though?
The names mentioned here, Bustad.
Yeah.
Alex Kerfoot, Ian Cole, mm-hmm. Olimata, Bertuzzo.
Okay, Olimata.
Clayton Keller.
You don't want
Clayton Keller's mentioned.
You're
going
to have to give him a lot
well,
for that. But you don't want Bertuzzo. We had Bertuzzo last year. You don't want him. You can't move. He cannot move.
Okay. Nick Schmaltz.
That would be a good pickup.
Or Michael Kesselring.
I think you just need an established veteran third liner. Someone who kind of just brings a new energy and, like, I've been here before. I know what we need to do. Like, that's kind of what we're looking for.
All right. Moving on. What I saw. Let's have at it. What do we think? What did we see?
Did I see this?
I saw the Bob Dylan trailer.
How was it, good?
Oh, it looks so good.
I can't wait to see that. I want to see Gladiator so bad. I haven't gone yet.
I never liked Gladiator.
I never saw the first one.
I saw the first one. I'm not...
Matty G's went three times, dude. Matty G's gone three times.
From what I've heard, it's like, it's good, but it's never going to top the original.
You know what the thing is for me is I've never seen the original, so I'd rather go see that first for some reason, because you don't really need to see the original, right, to follow what's going on.
I saw 22 Jump Street before I saw 21 Jump Street. It was kind of lost, but
all right. Well, maybe I'll have to see the first one.
Two completely different genres.
One's about killing people in a coliseum. The other one's about two fake cops, or not fake, but you know,
undercover cops that dress as college students. Anything from you, Tim? What I saw?
I don't even know. I didn't really do anything. You know what? Actually, I did. I went to the Bronx Zoo for a Christmas light show with my family.
Oh,
it was good.
Oh yeah, it was Thanksgiving. Yeah. I forgot about that.
It was good. Yeah, I mean, I watched the Giants game on Thanksgiving.
Were you there? Did you see her?
I heard. I was pretty drunk, and then it hit like 1:30. And you know me, Stan. It hits 1:30. I'm walking home, so I just left.
I was like, I found out it was like a $40 cover. I was like, I can't.
I went when it was 20 or 30. And then I was like, I was there, and then shout out Pete. Pete was giving me free beers, so that was great. But yeah,
I'll snitch, but yeah.
Well, who cares? I mean, they think they give a fart.
Yeah,
but they,
true.
Yeah, I mean, I was there for a little while, and then, but again.
For those who don't know, Livy Dunn was at her hometown bar.
Yeah, the saloon, yeah. I didn't know she was cousins with this kid I know from Cortland.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, she is local. She's from
Westwood? Something like, she did gymnastics with Alyssa's cousin.
Really?
Well, Alyssa's cousin, actually, I think she went to, like, North Carolina for, it was, like, some really high D1 school, so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah, so Livy Dunn is in Prone Over New York.
Nothing I really care about. I went home, Stan, made a fire chicken parm sandwich, let me tell you. That's what I remember from that night. But you're like me. It gets to a certain point where I'm like, why am I still here? It's late.
Yeah,
I want to go home.
That's kind of where I was at, and I'm going to tell Tim a story when we're off air, but that's kind of where I was at.
I just look around.
Like, why am I here?
Yeah, I know.
What am I doing?
Aileen went back downstairs with her friends. I was upstairs, and I
was like, it's hot.
Yeah. I'm sweating.
The music's too loud.
Am I getting
old?
I
can't hear anyone. Am I getting old? Yeah. What am I doing?
The line for the bathroom was too long. Like, I was having a
I'd much rather go on, like, a normal weekend.
Yeah, just, like, sit down, you know? Hang out.
Yeah.
Maybe we are getting old.
Yeah, maybe we are.
That's why B-dubs is for us.
The game has caught up to us.
I like to sit down, maybe get a pitcher. Just don't have to move.
Yeah. That's why, save the date, 21st, we're hitting the sports book.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big day. That's a big day, too.
Yeah.
Like, for the college football playoff, there's two NFL games on.
Dude, Stan, wait till the World Junior starts, and I take the day off of work for USA's first game, and we're at the bar at 9:30 in the morning.
Drew made the shortlist for the roster. I can imagine he would make the roster. He's a shoo-in for the first line D.
He's having a great year at BC. I don't think stats-wise, but just like positionally, I've heard he's been fantastic. I will find out on Friday, though. Lowell plays BC on Friday.
That's shit.
Shout out. Actually, you know what? Yeah, in Lowell, well, it's split. So anytime you play a Boston team or anyone from Mass, you just go one home, one away. But
are you guys a part of Beanpot?
No, it's only Boston. But I will say, we did win a tournament in Lake Placid this weekend against, shout out my buddy Holden. He's the equipment manager for Clarkson. We beat him in a shootout.
Wow.
Dude, they have like, as every day goes by, they have like a much better chance of winning the Hockey East. Stan, we might actually be going to a Frozen Four hockey game.
Oh boy.
You might be tailing it out to like Minnesota to go see Lowell play like Bemidji State.
Where the fuck even is that?
Minnesota, baby. Let me check the rankings right now. Before we get off here, because, dude, if college hockey this year has been kind of crazy. Because Lowell was the worst team in the Hockey East last year. Like, dead last.
We talked about this before.
Hey, we jumped up.
Michael K.
Lowell's in 14th. They moved from 16th.
Oh, wow. The Michael K. Show will be ending next week.
Yeah, fuck Michael K.
Wow. Okay.
You know what I was watching today? Do you remember when, who called? Was it LaGreca?
Last thought, then we got to go.
Yeah, was it LaGreca that called into the Boomer Show? Or who was it? Oh my God, I gotta find it. He was talking about the Giants, and they got completely misquoted him. And he called, it was Francesa.
Yeah.
Oh my God, if you haven't seen that, Stan, I watch. He calls, like actually calls in like a caller, and they're talking about it. And the producers are like, I mean, we have a guy in here saying that he's Mike. But, I mean, you guys would know better than us. Like, he's live right now if you want to talk to him. And he calls and he's like, hey, it is me. He's like, it is me. I just want to say, what are you guys talking about? You couldn't be spewing more misinformation in the last minute than whatever. And then him and Boomer start going at it. And he's like, Boomer, I'm talking. God. Let me finish talking first.
I'm talking to you. Because
he's like, he doesn't watch our show. It's not him.
Remember when he freaked out when the Michael K. Show took a spot on Yes, and they literally, like, WWE-esque, like, took the Diet Coke bottle, Michael K., and, like, threw it in the garbage. Their first time on Francesa's, like, spot on the Yes Network.
Yeah, I don't remember that. I gotta watch that.
That was the first thing that they did on air on Yes. They took the Diet Coke bottle and threw it in the trash.
Him and his fake teeth, man.
Yeah, the Fan and 98.7 used to mean something to me.
I miss the Fan's glory days. I really do.
Yeah. Whenever I try to feel something, I just watch the...
Go back. That's what I was doing today.
The Mike and Mad Dog 30 for 30 is just the greatest.
I just watched a Mike Milbury interview from 2003 after they fired... actually, funny enough, they fired LaViolette, and it was Mad Dog. Yeah, it was Mad Dog and them going at it, and I'm like, okay.
Oh, my God. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. Be sure to like this video, subscribe to our YouTube, leave a comment. Do whatever you want. And be sure to follow us and rate us on Spotify.
5 stars?
5 stars only. We will see you
Tuesday night.
Tuesday night.
Wednesday
for
probably.
Possibly a Wednesday morning upload. Record Tuesday night, Wednesday morning upload. Strictly only
college football
playoff.
We need the landscape, baby.
We're previewing games. We're filling out brackets. This is like a first for many of us. Extensively filling out a bracket for college football.
When it's not just four teams.
It's not just four teams this year. So maybe we might rather it be four teams.
We'll see. I mean, this might be a couple cakewalk games.
We'll find out.
Hopefully Indiana wins.
Oh my God, if Indiana goes into Athens and beats Georgia, I
crazy.
Would fucking lose my mind.
Crazy.
Wait, I'll check it when we're off air to see if there's any like hypothetical lines. But anyway, peace out, guys. See you guys Wednesday or Tuesday. Who knows? All right, peace out.